There's a man who lives beside me who fought in World War II. He proudly waves old glory from high upon his roof. He starts out every morning like it's Independence Day. I've seen him at attention salute the flag and say, I love this land from sea to shining sea. I love this land, all of the brave and free. I love the liberty, the justice, and the truth on which we stand. One nation. Across this country, in big cities, little towns, while mama's getting ready, dad pulls the car around. They join the congregation to sing Amazing Grace. They're free to worship Jesus, and they are free to pray. I love this land from sea to shining. Love the liberty, the justice, and the truth on which we stand. One nation under God. I love this land. God bless America, land I love.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This land, don't you, this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Happy Memorial Day weekend to you. And of course, tomorrow is the official day of observance, but we want to do that today here in our service. And so we appreciate those who have given their life for the freedom we have in this land. God bless all of those who have done that. And if you have a bulletin this morning, there's a little write-up Miss Catherine made. In the very bottom on the right corner, I believe it is, somewhere in there. Be sure to read that. It's a nice touch. Not only do we thank the Lord for those who gave their lives for our freedom in this land outside of our church, but also those who may have been involved in that, that down through the time have been members here of Calvary, and those who served, just all who have served, who have given their lives, and who are still living today. We appreciate you for the sacrifice you gave. Appreciate the Lord Jesus for that ultimate sacrifice when he died upon the cross for us. And the ultimate freedom we'll ever experience is the freedom from sin. And that doesn't mean that we won't sin. That just means that we have the capabilities of not sinning. And one day we'll be freed from the very presence of sin. And looking forward to that day in heaven where sin will not be there. And it's hard to imagine a place where the flesh doesn't give you any fits. But truly, there's coming a day where we're going to be in the presence of Jesus, those that are saved. And there will be no more temptations, no more battles, no more struggles, no more heartache, and no more pain. It's hard to imagine that. I said that a moment ago, but it is truly hard to imagine that. I guess we got to have a glorified body to fully comprehend that. And so we'll just wait on that day. Good to be here this morning. Good to see everybody. Just remember the San Miss Marianne, as we had Brother Ed's memorial service yesterday. And I thought how fitting that was. Brother Ed had served himself, it being Memorial Day weekend. And, of course, Miss Marianne asked those to wear red, white, or blue, or all of them at one time. And just so fitting for the week, for the weekend, and sending Brother Ed off with his memorial service. We'll miss Brother Ed, but we'll see him again one day. Appreciate him. Just remember the Bendys as well. Got word about midnight that Miss Shauna's back in the hospital. And so let's just give her over to the Lord and ask God to do what he has to do to allow her to be better, to feel better, whatever the situation is. Pray for Brother Michael as he continues to work and trying to keep her health at the same time. So a lot of people have a lot going on. Everybody doesn't always voice those things, what they have going on in church. And so I'm aware this morning there may be some unspoken requests. There may be some people here with burdens, with problems that you would not dare voice, but God knows about it. And so my prayer is today that the Lord will speak to our hearts and that we will be different by the time that we leave this morning. All unspoken requests this morning. If you have an unspoken, you can raise your hand. God knows about it all. God knows about it all. That's a good thing about God. He knows about it all. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And then we'll pray. Then we'll give it back to Brother Allen. Just remember, no evening service tonight. Everybody has plans, pre-plans. And so we will meet back on Wednesday. Father, we love you this morning. Pray that you'd bless the service. God, help us reflect upon this day, this weekend, as a country, those who gave their lives for our freedom, but also, Lord, the greater freedom, and that is, again, being free from the bondage of sin, being saved, Lord, to a place called heaven, being saved by your blood. Lord, those things today we also think about. And Father, we're so very grateful for both things, but we're so very grateful the much more of the latter, your grace, your love, your mercy. We pray today that you'll do business with us. We pray that you'll speak to us through your songs, Lord. I pray that we would sing unto you and you'll be glorified with the music, but also when it comes time for the message, Lord, I pray that you would use me to be a blessing to your people. We love you today. We thank you. We praise you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Church, would you stand with me? Choir, stand with me. Could we all stand together this morning and sing God Bless America? Church, would you remain standing? Let's turn over to page 57. The song a few moments ago spoke about it. Could we sing Amazing Grace, the first and the last of Amazing Grace? To see you in the house of the Lord this morning. And I was thinking the same thing Pastor spoke of this morning. What a great, great time to have a memorial service for Brother Ed on Memorial Day weekend. I'm so thankful for all that have given, the sacrifice that they've given to for us to be able to have our freedom here. We still live in the greatest country on earth, Brother Harold. And we're still thankful for that. We just need to continue to lift each other up, and there's been some great tragedies this week, and our minds cannot comprehend, words can't speak what we have gone through over this past week that took place out in the families and the children of the school, and we just need to continue to lift each one of those families up, and the Lord knows exactly what is needed. Again, words can't even express how we feel this morning, but let's continue to lift up those families in prayer. And again, there's been a lot of things that have gone on in the past days, and we just want to ask the Lord to be with them in a very powerful way. And I'm thankful that we still live in a land that we love, and despite it all. And the choir's going to sing a song here in a few moments that we're going to remember, as Pastor said this morning, the ultimate sacrifice that was given over 2,000 years ago in a place called Calvary. And we will remember what the Lord has done for us. And we'll sing about that in a few moments. Let's go to him again in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service. If you're visiting with us, you're our special guest this morning. We just pray that you feel at home in the house of the Lord today. Pray for those that are traveling. Some have gone on some vacations, and pray the Lord would keep them all safe and bring them back safely to us. Again, no service tonight, no choir practice, of course, this evening. But let's go to him in a word of prayer. Brother Don, would you lead us to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning?
Bless all the men and women.
with signs and wonders. You've shown your power with precious blood. You showed us your grace. You've been our helper, our liberator, the giver of life with no end. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. When we walk through life's darkest valleys, we will look back at all you have done, and we will shout, our God is good, and He is a faithful God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, to the one from whom all blessings flow. Hallelujah, hallelujah, to the one whose glory has been shown. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness.
I still remember the day you saved me, the day I heard you call out my name. You said you loved me, would never leave me, and I've never been the same.
We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness.
This morning, I don't think in all of my years, if I could just say something real quick, that I can remember our country ever being so divided and so divisive, and just all the infighting. But we still live in the greatest country in the world. I remember having all of my uncles, my precious daddy, fighting for this country, and we take that so for granted sometimes. And even though they all, thank the Lord, came back, they did not come back the way they left. They came back seeing devastating, horrible things. And I'm so thankful. I've had four boys, Jeremy, Nathan, James, and Peyton, that just had something within them that isn't in all of us. And the minute that James and Peyton graduated from high school, the minute we had Peyton, he wanted to go serve our country. I thank the Lord that there are still men and women that want to serve this country so that we can sleep at night without the threat of living and hearing shells above us and bombs going off. And I am guilty of taking that so for granted. I thank Jesus for the men and women that served this country and for the ones that ultimately paid that sacrifice for something that burned in them. And it's not just our military anymore. It's our first responders in cities in this country that are like war zones at time. And I'm thankful for the police and the fire and those men in the those branches that protect us. And ultimately, most of all, for the Lord that looks over them. And so I came back from a wonderful, beautiful trip that some precious people gave us without a voice. And I was supposed to have all these children with me singing, and the last one gave out this morning to a virus. So just pray for me that the Lord will be glorified through this song. Thank you for allowing me to sing.
Stands in a harbor, Miss Liberty calls. Okay.
Really use you this morning to kind of bring us in, and appreciate the singing, Brother Allen, and the direction he took us this morning. God always uses the choir to do that as well. But when you start singing about and thinking about God's goodness and how he's provided and blessed, man, it rings you out. Appreciate the song, really do. Anyone else have a word of testimony before we get into the message? All right. I'm going to have you take your Bibles this morning and turn to Exodus 32. Exodus 32, and we're going to look at verse number 19 in just a moment. Exodus 32, verse number 19. It's official. School is out. So pray for us, brethren, sistren, that we might keep things busy for the children. And so, anyway, I know Lily is thrilled that school is out, along with Kristen back there and others. And so we're going to double down and keep things going. But anyway, I did want to ask a question to everyone this morning. Which do you prefer when going on vacation? The beach or the mountains? You can just shout it out. It doesn't. Thought I'd get a reply like that, about half and half. And some go to the beach and some go to the mountains. And me personally, I like to go to the beach in the summer. And if I have the opportunity, I like to go to the mountains in the fall. I just like to do that. And I tell you, though, beach life is a hard life. It is a hard life. Crawling out there on that beach with all that luggage, beach toys and pop-up tents and chairs, it is a task. I enjoy going to the beach, but I really enjoy going to the mountains as well, especially in fall time. I remember probably 2 or 3 years ago, me and Christy went to Eden Ridge on our anniversary. It was in the winter time. I think some others, maybe Brother Brian, Miss Melita, I think the group went to Eden Ridge a time or two. And what a tremendous place that is. Love Eden Ridge. And it's a place, I believe it's in, is it Crab Orchard, Tennessee, somewhere around in there. And you go up a big old mountain to get there. And then there's these nice fancy gates that says, "Welcome to Eden Ridge." And originally it was a missionary retreat. Those who are in the ministry can go there. I like streams as well, streams and brooks. Right before you get to Eden Ridge, the gates, there's a stream on the side of the road, on the side of the mountain, and it just it goes down through there and comes out the other side. And just something about streams that I love. They're just so quaint and quiet, and really allows me to relax. Loving the mountains, loving the beach. But this morning, of course, we're not here to talk about our vacation dreams and where we want to go and what we want to do. We're here to study the Bible this morning. And with that said, there are mountains in the Bible, and I believe this morning that these mountains found within the Bible, they have specific they have specifics about them, things that literally took place. But also, when it comes to these mountains in the Bible, there are some things that are symbolic and meaningful as well at the same time. So this morning, I want to talk to you for a few moments on this subject, lessons from mountains. Lessons from mountains. Number one, here in Exodus 32, verse number 19, we see Mount Sinai, and we know that Moses, he was called up upon this mountain. And let me just say that it took Moses effort to reach the top of the mountain. It took him effort. It took Moses being obedient to God and listening to the voice of God, and it took him effort. But Moses, no doubt, made it to the top of Mount Sinai. Now, this was the place where Moses received the instructions for the tabernacle while on top of Mount Sinai. And you know the tabernacle with all of the furniture and all of that and here in the Old Testament. But it was also the place where Moses received the Ten Commandments from God. In fact, in chapter 31, we could back up a chapter, in verse number 18, the Bible says, "And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God." And so that's what we see here. We see that Moses not only received the blueprint for the tabernacle, but for the Ten Commandments, written with the very finger of God. And let me say this, that not only this was the place where he received the instructions, the blueprints for the tabernacle, it was the place where he received the Ten Commandments, written with the very hand of God, finger of God, but this was also a place of second chance for Moses. You say, what do you mean a place of second chance? Well, notice, if you would, in verse number 19 of Exodus 32. We know that Moses was on top of Mount Sinai, and the people of God grew impatient while he was up there. They were at the foot of Mount Sinai, and they began to complained to Aaron. And so in their impatience and complaining to Aaron, they made, the Bible says, a golden calf, and they began to dance and play, the Bible talks about. And then in verse number 19, the Bible says this, "And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. And he cast the tables of, or he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel to drink of it." That's some anger out there. Moses, no doubt, having spent that alone time with God and has heard from God and received the tables of stone, and now coming down from the mountain and seeing what he saw, it made him angry. It made him angry in so much that he cast those tables of stones out of his hands. He just got mad or frustrated. The very thing that God wrote out with his finger, he threw on the ground and they broke. Then, of course, he followed through with the taking of the calf, burning it, grinding it to powder, and making everyone drink from it. That is a man with, I would say, starting out with godly anger, but no doubt it turned into just bad anger. Moses here showed a side of himself that portrayed anger. And now we know that also at the same time that Moses, he actually killed a man and buried him in the sand. And so probably Moses at times had to deal with an anger issue. And so Moses knew he had an anger issue. Another place the Bible says that Moses was the meekest of all men. And so Moses knew he had an anger problem. Moses knew that he needed to go to God with his anger issues. And he knew that it wouldn't pay to follow through with these impulses of his anger. And so he struggled with anger. I wonder this morning if there's anybody here that struggles with anger. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning that the two people that knows the most about your anger problem is you and God, but others may know as well. I wonder if there's any here that have expressed anger and has acted on the impulses of anger and caused problems in your family. Anger is a real issue today. There's some people who struggle with anger. Now, we see the action of Moses, that he took the tables of stone that God had made and wrote out with his own finger, and he cast them and break them. But now I want you to look, if you would, in chapter number 34, in verse number 1. God could have struck Moses and ended his life. He could have done that. He could have got on to Moses in such a great way and made Moses a public example, but he didn't do that. In Exodus 34 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning. Come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai and present thyself here to me in the top of the mount." Here we have a picture of God giving Moses a second chance. He said, "Moses, you blew it the first time. I mean, Moses, we had this great time together on the mountain, and it's where I was channeling my thoughts to you. I was speaking to you about the blueprint of the tabernacle, about the tables of stone. I even wrote them out with my own finger. And then you blew it. You went down from the mountain, and no doubt you've seen what you've seen, and it bothered you, but you broke those tables of stones." And how many times in life has that been the case with us, where we've had a long time with God, and we know what it's like to walk with the Lord. We know what it's like to have sweet communion with Him. But before we know it, something has caused our anger to ignite over something in our life, some kind of situation, circumstance, and out of a quick impulse, we disobeyed the Lord. We acted out of the flesh. We said something we shouldn't have said. We did something we shouldn't have done. I know I'm not the only one this morning who's acted out of impulse and expressed anger. If you have any conviction about yourself at all, about anything, there'll be times when you'll be angry. And so the right idea is to have the right kind of convictions and try not to express anger the wrong way. But at the end of the day, God gave Moses a second chance. And I thank the Lord this morning for giving me a second chance. Times where I have blown everything. Just Justin had to have his way. Justin had to be heard. Justin had to do what Justin wanted to do. And Justin blew everything. Believe it or not, I've done that a time or two. And I'm not proud of it. But we serve a God this morning who gives second chances. And he invited Moses back up to the top of Mount Sinai to speak to him again. But if my estimation is correct, now, I'm not sure how those first two sets of tables of stone were cut out and prepared, but here, God tells him to hew out the two tables of stones. And so we see here probably more work was involved. And so it is when we disobey the Lord in those times where we express anger, it's always much harder the second time around, although God does give and express forgiveness to us. And so Mount Sinai, when we're looking at these lessons from the mountains, we can glean a lot of things, but we can also glean that when we falter, God gives a second chance. You know the story of Jonah. We see other stories in the Bible. CJ preached Sunday night about the parable of the prodigal son and how he came back home when the father received him. Told you the story about Billy Graham accepting his daughter Ruth, although she had a divorce, accepted her in love. That's our Father this morning. He's a loving Father. He's also a God of justice, but he's a loving Father, and he gives us a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. Mount Sinai. Now, turn, if you would, to Deuteronomy 32 for a moment. Deuteronomy 32. In Deuteronomy 32, verse number 49 and verse number 50, we have Mount Nebo. Some put together and say that Mount Pisgah and Mount Nebo are one and the same. At any rate, what we have, the setting here on Mount Nebo, we'll say, we have Moses viewing the promised land. Look in verse number 49, Deuteronomy 32. Well, 48 and 49. And the Lord spake unto Moses that self same day, saying, get thee up into this mountain, Abiram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho, and behold the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for possession. And die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in the mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people. So we have here Mount Nebo again. Some say Mount Pisgah or one and the same. But I'll just say this, that after many, many years, Moses did see the promised land. He saw the promised land, yet he never entered the promised land. And so I guess we could say that this was a pleasant yet painful experience. Because if you think about it, Moses, having seen the promised land, yet not entering the promised land, he was viewing the fruits of his hands, meaning that he led Israel right up to the promised land, yet he himself was never able to enter in the promised land. And so we have something pleasant, knowing that Moses and his leadership led the children of Israel to the promised land. And then we have something painful, Moses not being able to enter in the promised land. It is the picture, it is the lesson of the pleasant yet painful experiences in life. I think about Jesus when he died upon the cross right before he gave up the ghost. Roman soldier put the sponge to his lips because he said, "I thirst." And it was a very bitter taste. And then the next minute you know that he gave up the ghost and he died. Well, that the Jesus left this world with a very bitter taste in his mouth. But it didn't end there, because he was buried and then on the third day he rose again. There are times in life where we experience those pleasant yet painful times, however you want to say it, painful yet pleasant times. Any way you look at it, those bitter experiences, the bittersweet experiences. You remember when Moses was leading Israel and they came to a place called Marah, and the people of God haven't received water, nothing to drink for 3 days. And when they came to Marah, they went down to drink, but they couldn't drink of the water because it was bitter. The water was bitter. And they complained to Moses. They said, "Moses, we would have just rather died in the wilderness to be led out here. And now we're athirst and we can't drink because these waters are bitter." And we know what the scripture says, that Moses, he cried unto the Lord. And when Moses cried unto the Lord, he showed him a tree. And when the tree was cast into the waters, those bitter waters were made sweet. And that's a picture of the cross of Calvary. It is a foreshadow of things to come, meaning when Jesus died upon the cross and buried and he rose again on the third day, it would open up a new and living way. It would open up new possibilities for us. It would open up new abilities for us. And all of those that are saved by the grace of God, all we have to do during our bitter experiences of life is to apply the cross, to apply Jesus to our situation. Incorporate Him during our troublesome times, and you'll be able to find that your bitter waters can be turned sweet. And so Mount Nebo, Mount Pisgah, this can give the lesson of the pleasant yet painful experiences of life, where Moses saw the promised land, yet he died on Mount Nebo. Let me mention a third one. Not only Mount Sinai and Mount Nebo, but then what about Mount Tabor? Turn, if you would, to Matthew 17. Matthew 17, Mount Tabor. Notice, if you would, in verse number 1, in verse number 2, Matthew 17. "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light." We call this Mount Transfiguration, but it was definitely Mount Tabor is where this transfiguration of Jesus took place. Verse number 1, we see that he took Peter, James, and John with him, up into this mountain apart. And then in verse number 2 talks about the transfiguration, how that Jesus was transfigured before them, and his glory did radiate unto the disciples. And so it was the place, Mount Tabor, of transfiguration. This was the place where Jesus revealed his glory to that inner circle of disciples. It was a place also where heaven and earth met, if you would. If you notice down in verse number 3, the Bible says, "And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them." Moses and Elijah being in heaven, yet came to earth through the command of God, no doubt. And so it was a meeting spot where heaven and earth met. We see that in the sense that Moses and Elijah met with them and talked with them. It was a place where heaven and earth met. It was a place where Jesus reveals his glory to the inner circle, the place of the transfiguration. But it was also a place where the disciples' vision was corrected. Look at verse number 8. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And so it was a place where their vision was corrected. They lifted up their eyes. Jesus had their attention through that transfiguration experience, through Jesus bringing them up to this mountain, the inner circle, the faithful few. He revealed his glory unto them, and their eyes were caught by him. Their vision was corrected. You say, Brother Justin, what is the lesson here? Well, there's many lessons in this, but just a few is that Jesus wants to show us his glory. Jesus wants us to walk close to him like these faithful few. He wants to take us up to a high place with him, meaning more in an intimate relationship with him. Jesus wants to show us more of himself. But not only that, but Jesus wants our eyes fixed on him. He wants our eyes fixed on him. How many times does our attention get loosed from Jesus and is on everything else in the world? I mean, just coming to church, the distractions that are there, how tempting it is to start thinking about what I have to do after church, what I have to do tomorrow. Those kind of distractions, satanic distractions as well, are there. Oh, Justin, you're not good enough. Justin, you can't preach your way out of a paper bag. Justin, you're no good. Justin, you can't lead those people. These are satanic attacks. And listen, they're there. They're there. And what about all those other distractions with just life in general and family matters and problems, financial difficulties, all of these distractions we bring into church if we're not careful. And so we have a lesson here. I believe through this experience, these disciples, they experienced Jesus in a whole new way, and he had their attention. Their eyes were fixed and focused upon him. I mentioned the horse blinders a lot. At least I feel like I do in church and preaching. And those racing horses, they have those blinders on. And they're put on, a little headgear is put on, and there's these blinders on each side. And it prevents these horses when they're racing to look to the right or to the left. And it keeps their attention dead straight on, center cut. And this is for the purpose that they might run well, that they might keep their eyes fixed and focused on what's in front of them. We're told in Proverbs chapter number 4, toward the end of the chapter, that we are to not look to the right hand nor to the left, but let our eyes look right on. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to keep our eyes fixed and focused upon him. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says, he's the author, says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And it talks about who for the joy suffered and bled and died for us. And so this morning we can take the lesson from this mountain that we are to have our eyes fixed and focused upon Jesus. Mount Tabor. Now let me mention another one. And we're going to be through quicker than I thought this morning, but that's okay. What about Mount Olivet? Acts chapter number 1, Mount Olivet. What happened on Mount Olivet? Acts chapter number 1. Well, we know that in Acts chapter number 1, this was the place where Jesus ascended up into heaven. Notice, if you would, in look in verse number 8 first of Acts chapter number 1. For ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Amen. And then verse number 12, Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And so we see this mountain is where Jesus ascended back into heaven. Now, if you notice in verse number 11, there's one word here, the word gazing. We know that the two in white apparel, verse number 10, And while they looked steadfast toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, and they asked him a question to these disciples. Which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Now, I'm not trying to over-spiritualize or make something that's not here, but they were just stuck looking in the spot, the same spot Jesus went up into heaven. And he told them, he said, he's going to come again. But you see, they were commissioned to do something. Again, verse number 8 talks about after you receive this power, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Or you shall receive this power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And it talks about how they're going to be witnesses. And so they had a job to do. They had a gospel to preach. But yet they were gazing. Their eyes were just locked. I wonder, now the scripture tells us that there is a crown to be won for all of those who love his appearing. But at the same time, we have a job to do. But I wonder how many believers are just looking up toward heaven. Lord, today could be the day. Lord, please let today be the day. And listen, we are told to love his appearing, but there's work to do before he comes back. You see, there's a difference between, I believe this morning, there's a difference between loving his appearing and loving our disappearing. There's a slight difference, but there's a difference. Some just want to leave this planet Earth and go home to be with the Lord. Through working, through serving, just done. Stick a fork in it. And then there's others who are working for the Lord, but at the same time are welcoming his coming. There's a difference. And I believe these who were standing there gazing up into heaven, they were just kind of just brought, they were just caught up in his leaving, and they weren't necessarily serving. So let us today be people who welcome his coming, but serve while he's gone, because that's the job that we're to do. But I want you to notice something else here, that this place where Jesus ascended back up into heaven, Mount Olivet. Now, at the foot of Mount Olivet, there's a place called Gethsemane. And we know what Gethsemane was. It was a place where Jesus agonized, and his sweat became as great drops of blood. Now, the word Gethsemane means oil press. And it was, again, the place where Jesus' sweat became as great drops of blood. But the name Gethsemane, meaning oil press, is for a reason. It's because they would gather up, they would gather up all of those olives, and they had a press. And this press would come down on those olives, and it would squeeze every bit of it out, all the juice, all the contents out of those olives, and juice would be left, the oil would be left. And it would be bottled and it would be used. It was of most value after the squeeze. It would be used for cooking. It would be used for anointing. It would be used for all kinds of things. But it had to go through the squeezing process. It had to get what was on the inside out. And so what we have here is a picture of when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He agonized with the Father. And within himself, he said, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done, O Lord. And no doubt there's times in life where life is pressing us. There's times in life where we feel the squeeze from all of these things taking place and we're contending with. But could Jesus be trying to squeeze some stuff out of us? Could he this morning, through the dilemmas of life, the setbacks of life, all of these things in life, the pressures of life, could it be that Jesus is transforming us into the kind of vessel that he could use, the kind that he could fill with his Spirit and pour out as if it were as here in the garden? Could it be as of olive oil? Well, Mount Olivet, it was a place where the squeeze took place. Let me say this, the squeeze is worth the juice this morning. The squeeze is worth the juice. And again, Mount Olivet, the place where Jesus ascended back to heaven, the place at the foot of this mountain is where Gethsemane was. Mount Tabor, Mount Sinai, Mount Nebo. Just a few lessons this morning from some of the mountains that we have in the Bible. If they want to come prepare a song, we'll bring a word of invitation. Father, we love you today. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. Lord, I pray that you would just take your word. We tried our very best, Lord, to only mention the things you want us to mention. We're definitely not trying to over-spiritualize anything. But God, I do thank, Lord, that there's things with these mountains that hold spiritual significance. And I pray that something was said today beyond my stumbling words, Lord, beyond my mindset. God, I pray that your people heard your word loud and clear. We love you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come, you come. We'll sing another verse. If someone needs to come, you can come. Continuing to sing while we have those here. softly be fine. We appreciate those who came this morning. Thank you for responding, and I hope you enjoy the service this morning. And again, Memorial Day weekend, so there'll be no service tonight. We, originally we were going to have service, but just kept hearing about folks that weren't going to be here, and I want to be good stewards of our resources and with everything, the lights there, all that costs money, and so. So anyway, we're just going to omit the service tonight. All right, anything to mention before we go? Okay. Well, again, it's good to be here. Thankful for our visitors that came, and you're more a blessing to us. All right, Brother Seelong, just close us out.